Good evening, one and all. Welcome to our midweek church service, and welcome also to those that are listening on the phone and listening to the recording. And praise God for his merciful kindness and tender love throughout this past week, or at least half of the week. And we're really close to the end of this year. Saturday, the Sabbath, will be the last day of 2016. And this year has really gone by fast. But we're a year closer, a month closer, a week closer, and a day closer to the ending of this great controversy and going home. So good evening, one and all. Our opening song for tonight's service is Soldiers of Christ Arise. Soldiers of Christ arise and put your armor on. Strong in the strength which God supplies through his eternal Son. Strong in the Lord of hosts and in his mighty power, who in the strength of Jesus trusts is more than conqueror. Stand then in his great might with all his strength endued. But take to arm you for the fight the panoply of God, that having all things done and all your conflicts past, you may o'ercome through Christ alone and stand entire at last. From strength to strength go on, wrestle and fight and pray. Tread all the powers of darkness down and win the well-fought day. Still let the Spirit cry in all his soldiers come. Till Christ the Lord who reigns on high shall take the conquerors home. Let all the church be one in Christ our conquering King. Let each one in their lot stand fast and in faith let us sing. Our bodies are not ours, they're bought with a great price. Let each prepare their temples now to receive the Spirit's might. And praise God for making this winning of the great controversy through Christ possible, and to be filled with the Spirit's might, and indeed, fill this earth with God's glory. I invite you to please bow your heads and kneel for opening prayer. Our dear beloved Heavenly Father, we invite your presence to be here with us, and we thank you for being here. We also pray for the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, and we thank both of you for being here as well. And I pray that you will continue to lead and guide thy people ever onward and upward, closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's character and image, that we may indeed give you glory, Father, and help to fill this earth as the waters cover the sea with a true knowledge of your love and compassion and desire for all of humanity to be saved and not lost. We thank you, Father, for taking control, and please pour your Spirit out upon us very richly, that we may behold wondrous things out of the Word of Truth and be increased in knowledge as well as filled more with the Spirit of Truth. Be with all of those who are unable to come. Be with all of those battling the desires of the flesh and the fallen nature. And thank you for giving us in Christ all the divine power that we need to say no to sin and yes to thee. Again, we thank you for being here. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So welcome again, dear ones. And we're in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. It's where we left off last time. And the last things that we were talking about was that if God is on our side, then there's nothing that the devil, including all of his evil angels with him, there's nothing that they can do against God's will. So it doesn't matter if the entire world is raged against us and we apparently seem all alone. If God be for us, then we're going to gain the victory. And no one can stop us. God is all-powerful, almighty. The devil's defeated. Human flesh is pure weakness. So if God is for us, then we're on the winning side. So that was the last things that we were talking about. And now we pick it up at verse 32. He, or the Father, that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, or with Christ, also freely give us all things? So God has revealed the infinite depth of his love for us because he gave up his most infinite prized companion, which was the Lord Jesus Christ. So with God being willing to give up his own Son so that we might be delivered, then God is going to willingly give anything that he can to save us. So if we recognize God's love for us and how great it is, then how can we doubt that he's not going to help us overcome sin? He gave us his Son to free us from sin. So then you know good and well that God is going to give you all the divine grace and strength you need to live like his Son, perfect, without sin. And the very fact that he gave us his Son is proof positive that God will give us all the divine grace to overcome sin, so that we may become perfect in and through Jesus. So there's no reason to doubt. There's no reason to become fearful that God isn't going to do what he said he would do. There's no reason to fear. So when the devil comes in like a flood, you know that God is going to pour his spirit out in such a way that the devil can't go beyond a certain point. And thus you can gain the victory through Christ, which gives you his divine grace and strength, all with the loving approval of your Father. So God is going to freely give us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and you have nothing to fear about being cut short and not able to overcome. So praise God indeed. Are there any thoughts, comments? Verse 33. And would someone like to read verse 33?
Good evening, everyone. I'm going to read verse 33. They say, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies.
Amen, and thank you. So since God is going to freely give us all things that pertain to life and godliness, then it doesn't matter what charges or lies or falsehoods the devil stirs up his agents to lay against or charge against God's children. It's pure nothingness because it's not going to deceive God. He knows the truth. And God is the one that justifies us through the precious blood, merits, and righteousness of our Savior. So again, it doesn't matter if the entire world is raged on one side against us and we're standing all alone. It doesn't matter what charges, what crimes they lay to us. We don't have to worry about a single one because God is not going to be deceived. He is the one that justifies us. He's the one that grants us eternal life in Christ. Not the world, not the Pope, not any of the priests, and especially not Satan or any of his agents. So then it doesn't matter what people say. All that matters is that God is justifying us or making us righteous, accepting us in the Beloved as perfect. That's all that matters. Comment in the room, it says, the hardest thing for the carnal mind to understand is why God would sacrifice his son for a bunch of sinners. And that's a very good point. It is hard for the carnal mind to understand. And even though we may not comprehend all the reasons, yet we can still come to Christ. He can then replace our carnal mind with his spiritual mind. And then we will come to love God and understand a little bit of the plan of our salvation. So, amen. Another comment, it says, when we try to justify ourselves, we take ourselves out of God's hands trying to save ourselves. That's a really good point. I didn't catch that from the end of verse 33. So it's God that justifies us. Then we really don't need to justify ourselves, do we? We can rest our helpless souls upon God.
Yeah, I was thinking about Sister May said, but I could imagine if he didn't have, because he's saying how can have sacrifice for all of those that, like, we all sinners. Could you imagine that even if I like a sinner as me, for God to stretch up his arm to save me. That is something so beautiful. And giving me the opportunity to go to heaven. So it's really hard to understand, but I'm so happy for that, because otherwise we all be doomed.
Amen. And that's so true. The only reason we weren't destroyed because of Adam and Eve's choice to sin is because of God's love. We didn't deserve his love, but he still loved us, and he was willing to show us just how much he loved us by being willing to sacrifice the thing that he prized most. And that was Jesus Christ. So we don't deserve God's love, but he still manifested it for us. And he invites us to receive his love into our hearts, which will indeed bring about a change. And we will become more like him as we allow more of his love to reign within us. So God is love, and the more we have his godly form of love within us, motivating us, invigorating us, the more we become like God. So who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's not going to stick, because God is the one who justifies us. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So we not only have God the Father justifying us, and there's no charges that even the devil himself can stick upon us if we're hid in Christ. So then there is no judge of the earth that can condemn us. And Christ, who the Father has given all judgment of humanity to, because Christ was also human and is still human, Christ is even at the right hand of God. So God's justifying us. Christ is going to judge us righteous. And beyond that, Christ also is making intercession for us. So if we have Christ as our Savior, our salvation is assured. There's nothing that the devil can do to keep us from being saved. There's nothing that the world can do to keep us from being saved. The only way we're going to lose salvation is through our own choice to give Christ up. But there's nothing that the devil or any of his henchmen or even the world itself can do to keep us from being saved in Christ. Now notice it says that Christ also is making intercession for us. That means there's another intercessor for us before the Father, besides Christ. And who's that? Amen. The Holy Spirit, Romans 8:26. We already went over that. So here we see that the Father is not interceding before himself for us. So the other intercessor can't be the Father. He's the one being interceded to. We see here that Christ is an intercessor for us before the Father, but he's not the only one, because there's a second intercessor. And that we've already discovered is the Holy Spirit. So God is on our side, Christ is on our side, and the Holy Spirit is on our side. All three gods of the Godhead are on our side, and thus we will never lose salvation through anything that the devil, his evil angels, his agents, and the world itself can lay against us, charging us with, that will keep us from being saved. The only way we can be lost is by our own decision to be lost. But as long as we remain connected with Jesus Christ, our salvation is assured. In Christ we're saved, out of Christ we're lost. He who has the Son has life, he who has not the Son has not life. So the gospel is very simple to understand. Even a child can comprehend that. So God justifies us. Christ intercedes for us as our judge and intercessor. And the Holy Spirit intercedes for us before the Father through prayer. So we're covered by the blood of Christ from all our sins. The Spirit indicts our prayers. So if we don't know what we should pray for, or if we don't know what words to use to describe our heart's longing, the Spirit takes over and pleads before God exactly what we should plead for His help. And God provides that help, everything necessary that we might be saved. And the proof of that is He gave us His Son so that we could be saved. So again, it doesn't matter what the world says of us. It doesn't matter what apostate brethren may say against us. None of those falsehoods, none of those charges are going to stick. It's not going to matter what is said. All that's going to matter is that we're connected with Jesus Christ. His blood forgives us our past sins. And He gives us grace and strength to keep us from committing sin any further. And there's nothing that the devil can do about it. He'll try. He'll try to discourage us. He'll try to get us so busy that we don't have time to study, and thus, apart from Christ, apart from eating that bread of life, we're going to become weakened and sickly. But He can't keep us from being saved. The only one that can do that is yourself. But the devil's going to try. He knows where our weak points are, and he's going to arrange circumstances so that those weak points are brought into action. And because they're weak points, we're going to stumble and fall if we're not connected with Christ. But there's nothing that the devil can do to keep us from Christ. It's our own choice. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? The devil brings tribulation. Or distress that the devil brings? Or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? All of those come from the devil. But are any of those or all of those combined able to separate us from Christ's love? Not at all. The only thing that can separate us from Christ's love is our own choice to leave him. So truly, if you have Jesus, you have everything. And there's nothing the devil can do about it. No matter if he throws a gigantic temper tantrum, there's nothing he can do to keep you from salvation. And he will. Tribulation, distress, persecution, peril, sword, all of that is the devil's temper tantrum because you've accepted Christ as your Savior. If you're naked, that means you've lost all things. The devil can cause you to lose everything and in one night, just like he did to Job. But even if you lost everything, including the clothes on your back, can that prevent you from being saved? Not at all. So then you have cause for rejoicing, no matter how terrible things may be in the world against you. You have every cause to rejoice because you know that through the love of God in Christ Jesus, you're going to be saved. And the more that you suffer on this earth, the greater will be your happiness in heaven and on the new earth. Now, I'm not going to say, let the devil come, let him do what he wants, because that can be arrogancy. All I'm saying is, what God allows to take place in our lives should not cause us the least amount of distress, the least amount of doubt, but it should just lead us to praise God ever more for his merciful kindness in allowing us to be saved through our Lord God Savior Jesus Christ, all because of their love for us. And praise the Godhead for making our salvation possible under any and every...
Yes, I praise the Lord for tonight. We do need that encouragement, and because sometimes you feel that things are upside down, and but in even you in upside down, the Lord is there. So I praise God for tonight, and I thank you for this sermon tonight. God bless.
Oh, praise God indeed. Well, dear ones, let's go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. And any that would like to pray, please feel free, and I'll go ahead and start. So let us please bow our heads. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your infinite love for each one of us and being willing to sacrifice everything in order to manifest this love, this great godly love that's without measure. Father, I pray that you will fill us with thy love more and more. And please, Spirit, let this love transform us from death to life. Let the world have no more hold upon us, but let us be totally submissive, obedient to our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, who was willing to die that we might be saved, all because of his love for us. Thank you so much, Father, for not being deceived by all the character assassinations and malignities and everything else that the devil and his agents will throw and cast against your followers. Thank you for justifying us. Thank you, Savior, for cleansing us with your blood and for being our judge who cannot be swayed by false testimony and who also intercedes for us before the Father. And thank you, Spirit, for also interceding for us and adding to our prayers those things that we should be praying for but may not recognize the need or how to pray for it. And thank you, dear Godhead, for making our salvation so full and complete that there's no way we can be lost except our own decision to be. Thank you for this infinite love, and we love you too, and please help us to love you more.
We're so thankful for the sacrifice that you made for us. We're also thankful for Christ's intercession for us and the work of the Holy Spirit as well. Help us, Lord, not to yield to the temptation to justify ourselves, realizing that there's no true justification without Christ. Help us in our relationship with you, that we can be a light to those around us. Help us also to be thankful for the many ways in which you direct us, and especially through thy word. Help us to remember the many lessons in the Old Testament of how the people of Israel were sustained and protected and guided by you as long as they continued their relationship with you and as long as they sought you for guidance. Help us to remember we don't have to go it alone. We thank you again and ask that thou wilt be with those of our group who are struggling, having a rough time. Help them to remember that they have an ever-present help. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen. Amen. Well, dear ones, is there any songs, any comments, questions, thoughts, anything else that you'd like to share? Any testimonies of passing out tracts or the reception of individuals to the truth? Anything else you'd like to share tonight, please feel free. There's a question about verse 36. What does it mean that for thy sake we are killed all the day long? And we're going to find out what that means next time. We ended at verse 35, so we'll pick it up at verse 36. But it shows that there's going to be persecution. There's going to be peril. There's going to be the sword or warfare. But all of those things, even though they're trying our faith, and we may lose our lives in the trial of faith, yet it cannot separate us from God's love. It cannot take away our salvation. So they may take our life, but that doesn't take away salvation. That only allows us to come that much sooner to our Lord and Savior, Because if we fall a death, if we fall asleep in death, the very next thing we're going to know is we're being resurrected. So if they take our life away, they just bring us that much quicker to the Savior. So then there's no reason to fear. But there's every reason to give God glory for His great love. We are saved.
Yeah, a scripture song. A scripture song came to my mind, and it says, "For I am persuaded that neither no lie, no angels, no principalities, no power, nothing present, nothing to come, no high, no there, no any others shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I don't know where that's from, but it just came to my mind. Amen.
Amen, dear sister, and thank you. That's actually the last two verses of chapter 8 of Romans. So thank you so much, dear sister. Well, there's another scripture song that comes to mind. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For it is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:16-17. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we close for tonight? Please feel free. Well, dear ones, may God bless. Have a wonderful night's sleep and remaining part of the week. And we're looking forward to fellowshipping with you on Friday night and Sabbath day. Keep looking up, and whenever you feel down, whenever you feel persecuted or put upon or not appreciated or whatever it may be, then dwell upon the thought that nothing can separate you from the love of Christ or from salvation, and that will make you happy. So, dear ones, until we meet again, may God bless, and I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13.